Let's turn now for a little while to the passage that we read from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, where it is that we find Moses' final blessing on Israel. And the words that we're going to consider are well-known words, I think, to probably most, if not all of us. In verse 27, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, "The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And I thought that this week, as we would, God willing, tonight sit at the Lord's table, that it would be good to encourage yourselves and to be reminded of who and what it is that we have in terms of our God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The eternal God is your dwelling place. And as we look around the world and consider the peoples of the world, it is, and even ourselves, we're conscious of the fact that we are a people of need. We are a people who need many things to be able to live out the days that God would give to us. We need health and strength. It is that we need food and water. It is that we need fellowship and friendship with family and friends. And it is certainly that we need our God and the salvation that God has provided for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But one of the things that's most important as well, I think, is that we are a people who know of support and a people who know of safety. We can think of those who are trying to gain entry, even at this point today, in the various refugee camps that have spread up throughout the earth. And it is that these camps, in many cases, are bursting at the seams. And it is that those who would be inhabitants of these camps, they have made, in many cases, long and treacherous and dangerous journeys. Why is it that they do this? It's because they're looking for support and they're looking for safety. It is that where they were, it was dangerous, it was difficult, there were problems upon problem and so on. And it is that they come to these places where they hope that they will find support and safety. It is, it was something that took place during the time of the Nazis in Europe, as they were overrunning Europe. And it's happening, as I say today, places like Syria and elsewhere. It is that we see this daily and weekly in our newspapers and on television news reports. And so it is that men and women and young people of whatever colour, of whatever creed, of whatever religion, it is that of all the many things that they themselves need and want, it is that they want to know of support and safety. And you see, that's something that characterises we who are the Lord's people. Because it is that we are the Lord's people, sometimes it is that I think we're tempted to think that there are things that we're not in need of. And yet it is that the Lord's word tells us from beginning to end one of the things that we need to know of and experience as God's people is of God's support and God's safety. And particularly as we find ourselves living in the midst of this fallen world and this generation. It is as the church that we face hostility from within and from without. And it is that we experience difficulty because of our own sins and our own fleshliness and weakness because of that fleshliness. And it is that we need support and safety. And even as we would prepare to sit at the Lord's table this evening, it's something that we need to be reminded of, that as we would sit together and proclaim the Lord's death until he come, that even there it is that we're proclaiming to ourselves, to one another, even to the host of heaven themselves, that we are those who are trusting in the safety and the support and the provision that God has made for his church in and through Jesus Christ. Now, as I said at the beginning of the reading of Deuteronomy 33, it is that it's an interesting chapter, not just because it's Moses' final blessing upon Israel, that itself makes it interesting, but it's interesting in terms of how it is that Moses describes the tribes and how it is that they will be blessed and what it is that they should hope for even as God's people. And as he comes to an end of this great blessing, it is that he then assures them of this with this great promise. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It is that he's reminding them that whatever might face them in the coming days, whatever might face them in terms even of their backsliddenness and in terms of their relationship with God, that the one thing that they are able to be sure of and to know of is that their support and their safety and their security is from their God and the God who blesses them. And that's what I want to consider just for a little while this morning to encourage us and as we would seek to proclaim Christ's death until he come. What's the first thing then that we see here in verse 27? Well, the first thing I think very simply is their security. it is that we're told the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Whatever else it is that this text speaks of, it speaks about the security that belongs to those whose trust and hope is in Jesus Christ. Now, how is it that security is to be understood? We can think of the many security systems that we find even in the buildings round about us, and the various parts that make up that security system and so on. Likewise, concerning the security that is ours in Christ today. First thing that we can say about this security is that it's to be understood in terms of it being a hidden place. A hidden place. Look at the word there in the second sentence of verse 27. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath. Now, when it is that we think of something that's underneath us, we think of something that's hidden from our sight. And if it's something that's, say, hostile toward us, because of its hiddenness, it can take us unawares. I remember a friend that I had that he joined the Royal Navy in the UK, and he became a submariner, serving in submarines. And it was that he was telling me that once he'd undergone the surface of the ocean, just how dangerous and difficult it was for the ships that were on the surface. And it really brought it home to you when you dived under and you started to look through the periscope at the vessels that were on the surface. An attack could be launched before it is that the target was even aware that attack had been launched. And it's the same for us here today as God's people. Every good and perfect gift that is ours, where does it come from? We're told not that it comes from underneath, but it comes from above. And therefore it is that as we would know of God's safety and security today, we should be wise as to what it is that can come, as it were, from underneath us, even in terms of the attacks of the evil one, as he would seek to bring us down spiritually. As God's people today, the blessing that we look for is the blessing that is from above. The blessing that has come down from glory in the person of Jesus Christ, and in terms of the ministry of Christ, and the one who has ascended above as well. But it is that we know that often the attacks of the evil one, not only are they underhand, but it is that they're underneath, they're from hidden places, and they take us totally unaware. Think on it, even today. Perhaps for some of us, he's telling us lies. And he blinds us to the truth of what's available to us in Christ. How often is it that perhaps he puts thoughts and ideas into our minds that make us wonder, am I the Lord's? Am I someone who is trusting in Christ? Perhaps it is that you're here today and your spiritual walk has not been what you'd wished it would be. And it is that you're here in the depths of despair, thinking that your spiritual situation is hopeless. And in a very real sense, and I say this reverently, that we tend to forget that Satan is hell-bent on destroying the Church of Jesus Christ. That it is that he's hell-bent on destroying individual Christians, Christian marriages, Christian homes, wherever else it might be that Christ is found. It is that he wants to bring about destruction of every sort of type. And so often it is at times we end up blaming ourselves for things really that aren't our own fault. There's an expression that someone has said, to what depths will they go? And it is that we need to remember that even as we would seek to proclaim Christ's death this evening, that it is that he will go to the greatest of depths so that we might take our eyes off Christ and be found not trusting in him. For oh, how good then this promise is. That when we face difficulty, that underneath are the everlasting arms. That it is that for all of us who are the children of God this day, that underneath us, and no matter perhaps how far gone it is that we are in the depths, that it is that are still the everlasting arms of God underneath us. Think of how when it was that the Lord, when Satan came before him, and it is there was a challenge concerning his servant Job, and the Lord, as he spoke to Satan, there was always this proviso when he said, hitherto shall you come, but no further. And that really was an expression of the everlasting arms being underneath Job himself. The Lord pulled him up short just at the point where it is that the evil one sought to destroy that good man. And it's the same for us today. That at that point where it is that we think that everything is undone and everything is gone, the everlasting arms are there. And it is that I'm saying to you this morning, are you resting in those everlasting arms? Are you being carried in those everlasting arms? Those of you who know us at home, we've got some cats. And the cats, in some ways, are like the tribes of Israel. They're so different, their personalities, totally different. And there are some of the cats we've got, and the things that they like are to be held. And they'll just spend hours, as long as you carry them like that, and your arms are underneath them, they just love to be there, and they're purring and whatever, right? But then we've got another couple, and they just hate it. You pick them up, and you go to put them in your arms, and they start to scratch and want to get away. Sometimes I wonder if that's the way we are as Christians. But there are some of us who love to be found in the everlasting arms of our God, to relax and to rest, and to know that he's supporting us and upholding us. Some of us, we want to do it ourselves. We don't want to be held. We don't want to be supported. We want to do it our way. And Moses is saying to us, know the difficulty that you're facing and bringing to yourself when it is that you cast those arms aside. It's a hidden place. Second thing, it's a hard place. What's a hard place? A hard place is the place of our daily pilgrimage. You think of what it must have been like for the children of Israel as they're wandering through the desert. And the heat of the day and the sand under their feet absolutely burning. I remember the first time that I ever experienced that sort of heat and sand. I was used to the situation in Scotland where even at the height of summer, the sand was always cold, no matter how strong the sun seemed to be. But it was that I was at a beach down in the States and I stepped out and onto the sand in bare feet very quickly. I had to run back and put shoes on my feet because the sand was absolutely burning. Likewise for the children of Israel. Not just in physical terms, but in spiritual terms. And it is that for those of us who are God's people and are called to a pilgrimage through this a barren land of ours, that at times underfoot it can be absolutely horrendously hot. How many of you, perhaps, you went out to work at the beginning of this week, and you know that where you're going to at work, it's a real wilderness. It's barren, it's dry. It's a thirsty land, that it is, that there's no comfort, as it were, there's no spiritual oasis where it is that you work, that everything that you've experienced this week has been full of trial, and everything has been unpleasant to you. And so it is that you come here today and you're burned, and you're weary, and you're tired. And yet, Moses is saying, even for you, as for the children of Israel, underneath with the everlasting arms. If it is that you're weary spiritually, in terms of the Lord's Supper this evening, underneath are the everlasting arms. That you cannot and never will be able to sit at the Lord's table in your own strength or your own power. If it is that you're thinking that, then you've got no understanding whatsoever. Or what it is that the Lord expects of those who would proclaim his death until he come. Is there anybody here and it's been hard for them? My friend, underneath are the everlasting arms. It's also a high place. It's a high place. And there are times when it is that it's as though we're on the mountaintop spiritually. But sometimes one of the hardest things when it is that we're in the mountaintops, it's not so much the climb up, but the difficulty is the climb down. It's interesting when you read the biographies of mountaineers who have climbed up Everest and so on, that each one of them says that the most dangerous time in their expedition is not when they're climbing up Everest, but the most dangerous time is when it is that they're coming down Everest. And that 9 times out of 10, that when there are disasters and deaths caused, it's when they're coming down the mountain rather than when they're going up. And in spiritual terms, I think it can be the same for us as well. That it is that In a sense, as we go through life as Christians, Christ has raised us up to the heavenly places. There is no doubt about that, and we believe that. But there are times in our experience when it is that because of the frailties of our bodies, because of the frailties even of who and what we are mentally and temperament-wise, it is that it's as though it's a coming down. What about those perhaps who are coming down as the Lord's people from competence to real poverty in a very material sense? When it is that everything that was theirs is taken from them, how is it that they cope? What about coming down in terms even of your mental powers? It is that we all know somebody who perhaps seemed to be so bright, so full of life, somebody of great intellect and understanding, and yet it is that the frailty of ongoing years and Alzheimer's or whatever else it may be, that it's ravaged them. And it is that you wonder, how is it with them? Maybe it is that you've got a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, who was once a bright, bright Christian. And now it is they don't even know you, far less even the God whom they profess to love. And you wonder, do they know? They may not know, but God knows. And underneath even those who are experiencing such dreadful diseases, even within the church, we have to believe and rejoice in the fact that underneath are the everlasting arms. And that those whom God spoke to when it was that they had their full faculties and said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I'm with you always, even unto the age. That when it is that they do not even know anything about who's around them or what round about them is about, it's the same Christ who, as he spoke to them in the past, who speaks to them now and says, underneath are my arms. That's the encouragement for us, for those of us who have loved ones who face such difficulties. And we wonder in terms of their eternal standing. And what about some of us who are not only coming down, but we're rolling down because of something that's been our own fault? Something that we knew that we shouldn't have done. Something that we knew that we shouldn't have said. Something that we knew in terms of our demeanor, our attitude, that it shouldn't have been. And because of that, we're tumbling fast, as it were, down that mountain. Even for us, God is there with the everlasting arms to help us and to encourage us. One person I was reading put it like this, and I thought it was so lovely. He said, you cannot go so low but that God's arms of love are still lower. You cannot go so low, but God's arms of love are still lower. You get poorer and poorer underneath the everlasting arms. You get older and feebler. Your ears are failing, your eyes are growing dim, but underneath are the everlasting arms. And it is that even when you face that moment that you withdraw your last breath, if it is that you're in Christ, you need not fear. Why? Because underneath are the everlasting arms. So it's hidden, it's hard, it's high. And the question then for us is this. Do we, as the Lord's people, dig through our experiences and find those everlasting arms? With the eye of faith, do we, as it were, look to the God who has provided that great foundation in Christ that we are able to build on? If it is that today that you're faithful in terms of resting upon Christ and resting in terms of a faithful God, you need not be afraid and you need not fear to examine yourself. If it is that you're in fear of examining yourself, and perhaps it is that the situation is graver than you think, because it is that you need to try and to test your life in the light and the mirror of God's word. Bring it to you. Look into it. See if there's anything within your life that you know is offensive to God. Yet it is that God says, underneath are the everlasting arms. So there's security. Second thing that I think here in verse 27 is support. the everlasting arms are there. Not only is their security, but their support. And that support is in the fact that God himself is close to us. That God himself is guaranteeing the eternal safety of all those who trust in him. And that's our joy and comfort every day, that God is with us. Do we believe that God is with us here this morning? Do we believe, even as others have believed in times past, that when the body of Christ meets, that Christ is there in their midst and there to bless? I was reading about John Wesley, and John Wesley said this when he was dying. He says, the best of all, God is with us. And that's the best of all for each one of us today. Wherever it is that God's providence takes us, that God is with us. Thinking of this beautiful Lord's Day morning, we look out and we see the beauty and the majesty of the heavens. We feel the warmth of the sun upon our physical being, and that's wonderful and glorious. But even more glorious than that is that the one who has created and sustained all these things, that he is with us and that he is near us. While it is that others worship vain idols, it is that we trust the living and the true God who is near us. And if it is that he's close to us, then it is that his purpose is being fulfilled. That's what the text is saying. That when it is that where God's arms are, it's saying to us that God is at work. And as God is at work, God is therefore accomplishing his purpose. It's speaking of a strength that never fails. One of the things that I remember, believe it or not, I used to lift weights. It's been a long time. And you can see that in me today. It's been a long time since I lifted weights. But I can remember that one of the things that we used to do, we'd have the dumbbells. And we would do all the various things that you had to do. And then one of the things that you would do is that you would lift them up and then hold them up like that. And see how long your arms could remain there, holding them up. And it got to the point where your arms were shaking, trying to hold it, and then eventually, bang, down you would go. Can you imagine if it was like that with God? His arms, bearing his church with all the problems that are in his church, even as they were amongst the children of Israel. Can you imagine if it were that God were there and his arms were shaking? Can you imagine a Christ on the cross? And it is that his arms are shaking in a sense, in terms of wondering, has he the strength to continue in terms of the work that the Father gave him to do? Never. Never. God's strength and God's purpose never fails. When it is that we cannot see divine power at work, we need to remind ourselves that the eternal Godhead is always at work for you and for me. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are so near us and so close to us in Christ that it is that they are always there for us, that the arms of God are busy on your behalf. Is that what you believe today? That the arms of God are busy on your behalf? That's the strength and hope that's ours and how we can sit at the Lord's table. So it is that their security, their support. Third thing that I think we see here is their shelter. The eternal God is your dwelling place. Now you'll notice it can also be translated, if some of you have different translations, that's also translated as refuge, as well as dwelling place. And the word that Moses uses there can also be translated as mansion, or abiding place. So the thought that Moses has for us here is that God is our abode, that God is our home. The children of Israel, that when they were in Egypt and in the wilderness, they were a type of God's visible church on the earth. And Moses primarily, no doubt, was speaking about them, but from a secondary point of view, he's speaking about all the chosen ones of God in every age. And as God was the shelter, the dwelling place of his people in ancient times, likewise, God is our shelter and dwelling place today. Think on it. God was their shelter when they were in that land of slavery. when it was that we're told to make bricks without straw, when it is that their taskmasters were heavy and hard upon them, when it is that they cried unto the Lord and the Lord heard their cry, and it is that the Lord sent Moses to redeem them, to take them out of that land of slavery, it was something that they knew of God becoming their dwelling place, their refuge. It is that he became the dwelling place and the refuge of his people from their sins. Pharaoh charged after them. Pharaoh sought to destroy them. And it is that there were periods in their life when their sins sought to draw them back into that place of bondage. But what did they do? They cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them from all their distresses. Are you crying out to the Lord today? You hear the little ones. And there would be something strange if little ones didn't cry out. There really would be. We'd be saying there's something wrong with them if they don't cry out. They're silent all the time. What's wrong with your little one? Likewise, spiritually. So often we're silent. And we forget to cry out to our God, to call upon him, and to know of his help and his strength. Because it is that God is our refuge and our strength. We're going to sing that in a little while. But God is our only refuge and strength in our time of need. That's what the children of Israel experienced. God supplied all their needs. It is that we've got to go here, there, and everywhere else for our needs. But the children of Israel went to God for everything, absolutely everything. And it's the same for us, spiritually speaking, that we go to God for everything. And when it is that we think that the chips are down, it is that God is still able and well able to bless us. Then another thing, when it is that Moses writes, the eternal God is your dwelling place, it is that he's telling us that the Lord is our place of abode. The Lord is our home. You know what it's like? There's no place like home. You maybe go away on vacation, and about day 10, 11, you're thinking, it's time to go home now. Why? Because there's no place like home. And it is that home for the believer takes on a different order and dimension. What is it that characterizes us when we go home? We feel safe at home, don't we? We feel safe. When it is that the door's closed and the lock is turned, when it is that the curtains are pulled together, and it is that we've shut out the world, it is that there in our own homes we feel safe and secure. And it is that we're able to relax, to be as we are, even in terms of temperament and so on. Because not only do we feel safe, but it is that at home we take a rest. Well, often after a busy day at work, pressurizing day, and I know some of you have really pressurizing jobs, how good it is to be able to come home. And for those short hours, it perhaps seems, to be able to walk through your front door, to be welcomed by your family, and to be able to take rest. That's what God is saying to us tonight. This is your home. This is the meal that I've prepared for you when you come home. This is the place of safety for you, and this is the place where it is that you're able to rest. Home. It is that we can let our hearts loose. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, at home, I mean, you know me, at home, I like to get rid of the tie. Worst invention ever. Get rid of it. At home, as soon as you'll be pleased to know, on the good days already, the shorts are on. At home, you can be, your family see you in a different way. You would see me differently, in a sense, than as to how I am up here. Some of it good, some of it not so good. That's just reality for all of us, whether in pulpit or pew. But when you're at home, you're no longer on your guard. And sad to say, sometimes in the church, God's people are on their guard against with brother or sister. But when you're at home, you're not afraid that your children will misunderstand you. You're not afraid that your partner will misconstrue what it is that you're saying or doing, that it is that your words and your sentiments will be taken for other things than they should be. At home, you're at your ease. That's the way it should be for us when we're with God. Because when I'm at home with God, I dare tell God what I dare not tell anybody else. That's what we're able to do. There is no secret in our heart, and all of us have secrets. All of us, without exception, have skeletons in the cupboard. And it is that we are able to bring these skeletons and these secrets to God Himself. Because God has promised us that He will not cast us away. I started reading a book this week called They Shoot Their Wounded. And it's a book about the church. And how it is that the church is the only organization on earth where it is that it shoots its wounded. Where it is that brothers and sisters in Christ who have perhaps fallen, brothers and sisters in Christ who need help and encouragement, what is so often the case and the manifestation of what happens? They are shot spiritually. They are not helped. They are not lifted up. They are not encouraged. They are stood over in judgment, and tut-tuts come from here, there, and everywhere. Isn't that sad that a book like that has had to be written? The church shoots are wounded. I'm thankful that tonight, and as I said to you, I see the Lord's table like a front line in a battle, like a medical center, where those who have been in the battlefield and have the arms missing, legs missing, battered and bruised and bloodied, having perhaps even to crawl in, it's here at the table that they get fed. It's here at the table that once again they're reminded of what the great lengths that God has gone to in Christ. And it is that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him and trust their God. Is there anybody here today and you're wounded? Maybe you've been wounded by someone else. Maybe it is that it's wounding, self-inflicted. Whatever the case may be, my friend, if you're leaning upon Christ, Christ has prepared this table for you, to feed you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to remind you of what He did on Calvary's Hill 2,000 years ago. See, if anybody is at home, one of the things that should characterize them is that they're thoroughly happy and delighted to be at home, to be with loved ones, to be with family, to be with friends, to be with those who are delighted that they are at home with them. Surely that's the way it is for us, God willing, this evening. That's why I put in as the first prayer point to give thanks that Jesus is delighted when it is that we respond to His invitation and sit at His table. He's not standing in judgment over us. He's not shooing us away. But it is that Jesus is saying to us very clearly, come, sit, eat at my table. And if there's joy when we sit at the Lord's table in this world, imagine what it's going to be like in glory when it is that we're seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb and all the redeemed of God are there. Do you think there's going to be long faces there? No. Do you think there's going to be tears there? No. There's going to be joy of a type that we can never experience in the scene of time. Why? Because Christ is Lord, and Christ has redeemed the people unto Himself, that where He is, that they might be with Him. How then is it for you today? Can you say the eternal God is your dwelling place? If you can't say that, then you cannot know of the everlasting arms being underneath you and round about you. But if it is that you can say that God is your dwelling place, then know this, that in spite of your failings, in spite of your frailties, which we all have, underneath are the everlasting arms of our Saviour and our God. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we thank you for the ample encouragement that is found within your word, that it is that you delight when your people seek your face and your favour, when it is that your people exercise faith and trust in the atoning work of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that something, even of the truth of the words that we have considered, that something of that truth would be ours, even as we would gather together this evening. We pray if there are any amongst us today and who feel that they are taking a tumble into the depths of whatever sort, we pray that you graciously might go underneath and uphold them. We pray if it is that we are not building our life in that foundation that you have provided for us in Christ, again we pray that you might enable us, O God, to look to Christ and to build for this life and eternity upon his atoning work. So we pray you would take us to our homes in safety, watch over us through the remainder of this your day, and forgive sin, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.